The people who care for the networks of computers used on college campuses and scientific research centers had spent many years preparing themselves for various eventualities. And for years, computer scientists had spoken theoretically of the possibility of a program running loose in the network. But no one was prepared to cope with the massive assault on November 2, 1988. Within minutes of each other, computers all over the nation felt the presence of the rogue program. Shortly before 6:30 p.m., computer managers at the Rand Corporation in Santa Monica, a famous think tank where Daniel Ellsberg once photocopied the Pentagon Papers, noticed that their computers were unusually sluggish. There appeared to be a program running that was robbing the computers of speed and slowing them to a near standstill. 55 minutes later, across the country in Cambridge, Massachusetts, computers at the MIT Artificial Intelligence Lab were under attack. Almost immediately after penetrating MIT, the program struck Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory and a computer at the University of Maryland. Then it struck Stanford, Princeton, and the Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Once inside a computer, the program propagated to other computers, much like a biological virus. On some computers, there were hundreds of copies of the program running, slowing the machines to a halt. Even when its attempts to get into a new computer were unsuccessful, this electronic virus's repeated knocks on the door were often enough to cripple the machine. And even after it was killed, it would reappear almost immediately. Moreover, once it entered a workstation, the program had a mysterious way of finding other computers to attack. Throughout the night, it hopped back and forth through the network, setting off havoc wherever it touched down. System managers around the country responding to frantic calls from night operators were racing to their offices at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and 4 a.m. to wrest back control of their computers. Others noticed it when they had trouble logging into their institution's computers from home. Still others wouldn't learn about the program until they arrived at work on Thursday morning to find their computers besieged. Programmers at the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana were convinced they were going to have to rebuild the software for their entire campus computer system from the ground up. Worse than what could be observed about the program was the fear that it might be a Trojan horse program, apparently innocent, but carrying a string of code instructing the computer to carry out a specific damaging instruction at some later time. System administrators at an aerospace company in San Diego got so frightened by the threat of a malevolent string of code that they pulled everything off their computers and installed their most recent set of backup tapes. When the program started entering computers shortly before midnight at the Army's Ballistic Research Laboratory in Maryland, system managers feared invasion by a foreign power. And since the program came in over the network, they were afraid it might also be taking Army data out over the network. Assuming the worst, at 10 on Thursday morning, Mike Muss, the chief ballistic research laboratory system programmer, did what dozens of other managers across the internet had already done. He disconnected his computers from the network. The laboratory would stay off the network for nearly a week. Taking computers off the network stopped the program from coming in or leaving, but it had the unfortunate side effect of cutting off communications among people accustomed to staying in touch with electronic messages. Few people thought to pick up the telephone, and those who did were at a loss. The electronic network had become the sole form of communication for most computer experts, who seldom bothered to give out their telephone numbers.